I am very sure that by now we are set for what God is speaking to us to do, to reign in this life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that those who receive God's grace and lived in the righteousness of God shall reign in this life. Another word for reign is rule. They shall rule in this life. And only those who can rule are those who have been authorized to rule. Last week, we tried to look at the authority of the believer, and we said that Jesus said, why won't God intervene and avenge his elect? And we said that the elect are the chosen ones of God, and in a very simple parlance, those who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who has made the Lord their king, those who have allowed the Lord to rule their lives. And we try to look at the word authority. We look at it from the perspective of the Old Testament, abs exousia, and we said that today it has been given a lot of synonyms like right, power, jurisdiction, influence, might, prerogative, rule, command, charge, dominion, sovereignty, supremacy, and permission, consent, sanction, license, mandate, and warrant. And we also said that God created us to function as men and women he has formed to rule. Today, I want us to look at what I call the lost of the throne. You remember that last week we said that God created man in his image and in his likeness. And we said that image is equal to form, the form of God, the shape of God. And then likeness is operation, how God operates. So God created man to take his form, and God created man to operate like him. And you remember that we look at an example of God operation, and we said that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, God said, let there be, and there was. He operated by declaration, making declarations, and we saw it being put into fusion. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, I would like us to let us look at that very quickly. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden. When we were looking at the makeup of man, we said that God created man, he empowered man to have dominion. And we said, Genesis chapter 1:26, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. And those declarations were the declaration that really empowered man. And also, not just the declaration, but we also said that God placed man in a place of authority. He gave him a seat of government. I mean, he gave him a place to stay, and was Eden. And, you know, he was supposed to have dominion over everything that flies, everything that liveth on earth. And so his kingdom was the whole earth, but his seat of government was Eden. You remember? Just like Ghana, His Excellency President John Dramani Mahama is the president of Ghana, and his jurisdiction spreads through the borders of Ghana, but his seat of government is in the Flagstaff House. So God gave the whole earth to Adam, but he gave him a seat of government, and in the seat of government was Eden. And that is why when man sinned, we'll be looking at that very soon, God took him out of the seat of government, and because he has abused the office. and then someone else took over from that place. Today, Genesis 2 tells us, like I told you, using the illustration of the Wright brothers and E.T. Ford. You remember the illustration I showed you? Okay, for the sake of those who are not here, let me say it again. There was a gentleman called E.T. Ford. He wanted to invent a machine that will move. And he had seen other machines already. But he wanted this machine to have a particular shape. I am sure that he had in mind what kind of sound he wanted the machine to produce. So he created a machine, they call it Ford. And like you know, the Ford, American Ford, when you press your accelerator, boom, then you take off, you squeeze off 1 gallon of your fuel from the tank. I mean, that was the intention of the maker. He didn't create it like Toyota. And I said that another gentleman, two brothers, Wright brothers, wanted a machine that will not walk on the earth. He wanted a machine that will fly. So the Wright brothers came. They created a machine that could supersede, that could rule above the laws of aerodynamics. And he created an aeroplane. And I'm saying that the intent of the manufacturer is defined by the product he makes. And when God created a man to rule. And in the creation of man, he put into man that which will make man to rule. And so by your makeup, by the makeup of Adam, he was a ruler. God put all the features into him to rule. That is why he didn't look like a lion. I didn't know how the lion looked like though, but he didn't look like the lion. He didn't look like the bird. He didn't look like the fish. He was created with a conscience, not like the cow. His creatureliness defines the intent of the maker, so that he will rule over everything. And that was how it was from the beginning. So man was made to rule. And I gave you all the things that presupposes, that suggests that God made him a ruler. And Adam ruled. He ruled. He was in charge. He was in charge of affair until Genesis chapter 3 occurred. But the reason why I wanted us to look at Genesis chapter 2 this evening is that I want to make a statement. Last week I made a statement, and today too I'm going to make a statement. And the statement I'm going to make is this. When God created Adam, he made available whatever he needed to live free, to live a free life. God also made available whatever he needs to sustain him. Are you there? When God created Adam, the Bible said, can you look at verse 2 again? Genesis 8. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east. Before man was created, he had planted a garden. He has taken care of that which will sustain him. Can I say something to you? As you sit here right now, as you look at my face, if you are redeemed, then let me say this to you, that before you were born in Ridge Hospital, at Mokola, at Choco, maybe you were born in a taxi, or you were born in an aeroplane, or you were born in a trotro, or whatever you were born, before you were born, God had taken care of your that which will sustain you. That was our Papa Abraham, our Papa Adam. Before God placed him in the garden, he has already taken care of that which will sustain him. So now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man that he had. So before you got married, he had intention of who you will marry. And let me say this to you, many of us, one of the reasons why this evening, this meetings is very important, is that as I was looking at my notes, I realized that next week I'll be talking about some very serious areas. But it's okay. It's not scary because we are men of dominion. Hallelujah. So before God formed man, he had created that which will sustain him. Right? And that should tell you what kind of man God expected Adam to be. He was not supposed to be a loser. He was not. He was not born to be a loser. And let me say this to you. Adam's position is your position. Hallelujah. Now, so today I'm going to talk about Adam losing his throne. So the lost throne. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 to 15. Very beautiful passage. Can we take some time to read together? If we can get somebody, a very good reader, to take his time to read for us. Genesis chapter 3.
Genesis 3, 1 to 15.
Yeah.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the...
Any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
Thank you very much. The great deception. God created Adam, and we saw all the beautiful things that we looked at last week, and we saw that God empowered him to rule. He was to have dominion over everything that God had created. And he was supposed to have dominion over the beast, including the serpent that we just read about, that his partner had conversation with. He was supposed to have dominion over. When the person you are supposed to rule begin to rule you, he puts you into a disaster. You becomes a disaster. Deception is to make to believe a lie. It is a scheme fabricated to mislead. A scheme fabricated to delude someone into believing a lie or an inaccuracy. And that was what exactly happened. Satan, deception is his major tool of destruction. There cannot be deceit in the king, in the seat of government. If Adam, created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, had not had relationship with the Creator. When Adam had a relationship with the serpent, the wife had a relationship with the serpent. And as we read and we find out that the serpent was much more subtle, and I'm sure that by now you understand the word subtle. It is somebody who looks very beautiful on the outside, but very poisonous in the inside. Some people say that this is not how the way we see the serpent now, the snake, that's not how it looks. I have seen a lot of theologians say that, it was much more beautiful because women love beautiful things. And if its feature, the way we see it today, if that is the way it looked, like women wouldn't like it because this is horrible. You know, perhaps the state we see the snake in is his fallen state. I mean, his cursed state. As God said, he will crawl on his belly. But what I am trying to say is this. The devil came into the seat of government. And I have heard many people say that Adam was not there. Maybe he was farming at other part of the garden. Because remember that he was asked to take care of the garden. It was elsewhere. But when we read chapter 3, the Bible said he took Eve took the fruit, he took a bite, he was beautiful. Then the Bible said he gave it to his husband who was there with him. So where was Adam? Where was he? Man! He was not out of the seat of government. He was right there. I want men who always blame women for eating, causing our downfall. When I was growing, there was, you know, I was brought up around the beach of Nungwa, and there was this guy who separate locks, you know. The guy we say Igbalai, see huge locks, then he uses some tools to separate them. And that was a very tedious job. And when anytime he's putting the thing, he makes noise. And anytime he tried to hit the hammer on the thing, he made. And I said, but why is this man doing this? If the thing is too difficult, why are you doing it? And if you say, he will tell you that it's awa. You know, awa means Eve. For we girls, she said, this difficulty is because of awa. Awa has caused me to go through this difficulty. And I said, go and ask awa if he has not done that to me. Now, Satan came into the seat of government. He came into Eden. And what was his business there? And as we look at what Satan came to do, think about it. What has he come to do in your life now? I have seen many people who say that this thing the people talk, the people are talking about cannot be true. And I beg to differ. I have seen so much that if you tell me that there are no witches and there are no wizards, if you tell me that there are no black stool spirits, there are no manipulative spirits, I beg to differ. We've seen them. What did he come to do? Number one, the devil came to the garden. If you look at the conversation very carefully, you will realize that the first thing, I have listed five things he came to do. Number one, he came to question the integrity of the word of God. Because God has told them that he had created them in his image and his likeness. He has spoken to them. He had empowered them. The devil came to say that, eat of this tree, and you'll be wiser, you'll be better, you will be far better off. As a matter of fact, man was God. in quotes, because he was in the image of God before the fall. So what the devil said that man should be, he was already there. You know, ignorance. Number two, so he's going to question the integrity of the word of God. God does not meant what he says. God didn't mean it. He said, take it and try it. It's a good fruit. And many of us are doing this today. When we come to church and they tell us, when we read the Bible and what the Bible tells us to do, many of us feel that God doesn't really mean it. He doesn't really mean it. He doesn't really want us to do it. Number two, he questioned the integrity of God himself. Question the integrity of the word of God and question the integrity of God. Number three, he accused God of not being fair. Now, I want you to take your time and look again. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. I mean, let us read 8 into 9 swiftly. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. All right? Then verse 9. This is beautiful. Verse 9. And the Lord God had all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye. Please take note. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can I go to verse 10? Verse 10. And there there was a river watering the garden, and that river, we are later on told that it gushed out. But what I want to say, my emphasis is in verse 9. Many scholars have come to say that there was a particular tree God said the people shouldn't eat. Yes, of course, yes. Because all the trees God gave to Adam for food, they were pleasing to the eye. Because if it doesn't look desirable for eating, you wouldn't eat it. So God gave Adam appetite for those trees. So all this while, God said, eat from this tree. And God planted something into them so that when they see those trees, they'll have a desire for it. It was for their nourishment. It was for their energy. It was for their empowerment. And so they were supposed to eat it. There was a particular tree that God said they shouldn't eat from. And God was very specific. God said, the tree of the knowledge of good. I do not know what fruit it bears, but I'm sure by its name, it bears the fruit of knowledge, good and evil. He says, that tree, do not eat it. So the devil said, don't you think it is not fair for God to say, for God not to ask you to eat from this tree? Don't you think it is not fair? Don't you think God is biased? And I'm sure there are many Christians who are asking, saying that, but why would God say this to us? But why should God ask us not to do this? But why? The devil knew what Adam was enjoying. And because of that, he wanted to rob him. Number four, he came to question the status of man. He told the man, you could be better than what you are right now. He said, you could enjoy what God had forbidden you to enjoy so that you could be better than what you are right now. Whatever God has commanded you not to touch will never improve your life. And that is very serious. Because God is so loving that if there is something that will improve us, he will give it to us. So if God said, do not touch, God was serious about it. It will not improve us. I am very sure that God was aware that this will cause disaster for Adam the day he will touch it. And that's why he said, for the day that you shall eat it, you shall surely die. Number five. Satan told them to seek independent from God. For if they eat of the tree, they will become like God. Why has God given you dominion, yet he has given you instructions? Why do you still depend on him? If you and God are at the same place, if the two of us are the same, possessing all that each of us have, we may not need each other much. Will I need you if I have whatever you have, if you are the same? Will I need you? No. So Satan says, eat, so that you don't need to have any communication with him at the coolness or in the coolness of the day. When you need to go and sleep, then he comes to bother you. I know that the church is looking for freedom. You always look for what you don't have. And this is Satan's gospel. The gospel of independence. It is a gospel which made men to rely on themselves rather than God. Next week, I'll be talking about certain gospelers that says that, man, you are God in disguise. And they call certain spirits elemental spirit. They wouldn't want to call the devil a devil. Now they call it an elemental spirit. It is a gospel which promotes man as God and infallible. It defines sin as a mistake, as a nature that will eventually fade away as man improves or develops himself. It denies the existence and the horror of sin. It denies the existence of Satan himself. There is no Satan anyway. And I see many people preach that, even on television. And many of our friends are going there because no devil anywhere. Because you are God yourself. When man broke the law of God, two things happened to him. Two things happened to him. Number one, he lost his design. So man broke God's law. And look at it very carefully. Because man, in the depth of himself, wanted freedom. He didn't want to depend on God. He aided the devil. He helped the devil. If you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, verse 10, verse 15 properly, you will see where God gave him command. And God said, you can eat from all the trees, but not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was where God ended. But in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve is supposed to be interacting with the devil, did you hear what Eve said? He said, God said, the day that we shall touch it, not even to eat. Not even to eat. The day that we shall touch it, that day, we shall die. God didn't say that. And you know, the devil thrives on lies. Remember that he's the father of all lies. God never said so. God didn't say that the day you shall touch it. God said the day you shall eat. Eating is not the same as touching. He added carelessly to the word of God. And because of that, the devil thrived with them. Are you with me? So, when man sinned, man broke God's law. He willfully broke the law. And because the Bible said, Eve took a bite, it was beautiful. Then he gave it to his husband, the husband took a bite, and immediately, their eyes were gagged open, and they saw that they were naked. And then they saw that the word of God had become true. Whatever God told them had become true. They were separated. But two very major things happened to him. Number one, when man sinned, man lost his design. He lost his form. In the image of God, he lost that form. Man is a spirit. I said that to you last week. Man has a soul, and man lives in the body. So the real man is a spirit. And because God is a spirit,
Man communed with God with his spirit. And so, when man broke God's law, he separated himself from God, who is a spirit.
So, there was a separation. He was left with his soul and body. The soul and the body are just tools. The real man is a spirit. Your soul and your body, they are your jacket. In fact, Job called them your jackets. He was left with the body and he was separated. His spirit was separated. So his spirit died according to the word of God. The spirit was disconnected from God. He himself, man, was disconnected from the flow of life and living. And death entered into man's spirit. Hallelujah. I think that the second thing that happened to man was that man did not just lose his design, but he lost his power. The power to rule. Some of you might be more knowledgeable in the area of governance. This, our beautiful country, is governed by constitution, rules. And there are those who supervise, make see to it that the rules are obeyed. The president, he being the president, the first gentleman on the land, with all his power, if he goes contrary to the will, to the spirit of the constitution, what happens to him? He loses that power, that the mandate that the constitution gives to him. So we will get up and say, don't rule over us anymore because you've erred. That was what happened to Adam. He lost his power. He lost his design. His design to rule. Remember, he was designed to rule. So now he could no longer rule. And because he's lost his power, he lost his power to death. So death began to rule. Romans chapter 5. So he gave way to death. So death began to rule. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on all men, upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So when Adam sinned, he lost his power and he gave his power to the devil. And the devil took his power and gave us death. Death reigned as a king. The reign of death is a rule of Satan. Satan joined with man to set government on earth contrary to what God had planned. So immediately that happened, Satan achieved his aim and he started ruling. And he did what God did not want to happen. All the evil we see on earth today are the manifestations of the government of men. Juvenile delinquencies, poverty, sickness and diseases, unemployment, witchcraft, immorality, idolatry, and all the things we see. They are the manifestation of the rulership of the devil. Remember that because of that power that we gave to Adam, Adam gave to the devil became the owner of this world. So Jesus called him in John 14:30 that he's the prince of this world. He owns this world. And our big brother Paul called him in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. He called him the God of this age. Let us take our time and look at the temptation of Jesus. It's so interesting. In Luke chapter 4, when the devil came to him, and listen to what he said. He said that, taking him up into the high mountain, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, Who said unto him? This is the devil talking to Jesus. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you. All this power will I give you. And the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me. And whomsoever I will, I give it. Verse 7. If thou therefore will worship me, and all shall be thine. Worship me. What he wanted was fall down before me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you serve. Who gave the earth, the wealth, the power, the glory to the devil? Who gave it to him? Our brother Adam. Our papa Adam. He gave it to him. And Satan told Jesus, the kingdom of the world had been given to me. Adam gave it to him. God gave it to him. And God gave it to Adam. And Adam willfully gave it to him. You know, there is something about God. And that is the reason why many of us seem to be struggling with a lot of the things in the Bible. He respects authority. God respects order. He's a God of order. When Adam sinned, he fulfilled what God said. That the day that you shall break this law, that day you shall be separated from me. You shall die. And the authority God gave to Adam, because he obeyed Adam, he became a master of the devil. He became a master, but the devil became his master. And the devil ruled over him. God couldn't go to the devil and struggle with him. And that is why Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 is important. God said, because you have done this, he planned there and then to restore man to his original state. And that is the reason why we have the right to look at this topic. That we are no longer in this state. We are no longer in the state that Adam put us. Christ Jesus, by his work on the tree, has redeemed us. He has paid in full the price that our father Adam, the debts he owed the devil, he paid in full. And that is why he has restored you to your original place. Are you understand what I'm saying? So I am saying that Satan was given dominion because the earth became his domain and he had inhabitants under him to rule. Satan knew that Jesus had come for the dominion. The domain of the earth and the inhabitants of the human on the earth. How did the devil know this? He knew it in Adam because it was said in Genesis chapter 3 verse 14, 15. He knew that after the blunder had been caused, God promised that he was going to restore man. It is already there. I want to quickly put you somewhere so we can get into prayer. Time of prayer. God said in Genesis chapter 3 verse 13, 14, after they sinned, when God came to address the issue, he told man, because you have done this, I will curse the land because of you, so that you will now begin to toil. And he said to the woman, now he will be your desire. You will serve him. He said, you go through toils. And God cursed the devil and said, you walk on your belly. And he told him, there is a prophecy that God spoke, that in theology, most theologians or some theologians call it the proto-evangelium, or the proto-evangelium. God said to the serpent, I will put hatred
between the woman and you. You are going to hate the devil, and the devil is going to hate you. The serpent is going to have children who hates the children of women, the children of the woman. So he said, look, because of what you have done, I'm going to put enmity between the two of you. You can no longer be friends. Many of us are now praying with the devil's children. The woman is going to have a seed or a child that will bruise the head of the serpent. Children are always reckoned to a father. You know that related to your father because you carry your father's prototype because of the chromosomes and all the scientific things. Big names in science. But every child is connected to his father. But Jesus said, there is going to be a child who will not be connected to a father, but should be born by a woman. And immediately God said that, Genesis 3:15, he was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, who was coming to redeem man from the curse. And you know, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. In Oriental language, the term bruise the head means breaking the lordship of the ruler. So he said, the seed of the woman shall break your lordship. He will bring your reign to an end. He will come and snatch your rulership, your authority, the authority that man gave to you. He will snatch it from your hands. This suggests that Satan gained authority or dominion on this earth. He has set a kingdom on earth through men. Jesus calls his kingdom the world. John tells us in John chapter 2, 1 John 2, 15-17, not to love the world or anything in the world. The world is a system set on this earth which rejects the authority of Jesus. And that is very important. This system is invaded and pervaded. Almost every institution, including Assembly of Christ. Satan had used men to build Babel of confusion around us. Two kingdoms exist on earth today. The kingdom of Christ Jesus and the kingdom of Satan. Each of this kingdom is being built and manifested through mortal men or Satan. The evil being manifested on earth today is being carried out by men. Boko Haram. I heard that our president spoke about Boko Haram on TV 2 nights ago, and I was scared. And you want to find out, where are these people getting this courage? Please interpret your scriptures very well. Two kinds of people are sitting in this room. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who are instruments in the hands of the devil to rule this earth with poverty, sickness, disaster, lack, death, and killing, lying, and immorality. Their father is the devil. And those who are instruments in the hands of God to rule the earth with peace, joy, righteousness, healing, prosperity. Whose hands are you? Can I say something to you? God made you to rule. In the process, you fought it because our father, Adam, fought it. But for you, he has taken you back to your state. That power belongs to you. That power is yours. That power has been given unto you. That you are supposed to have dominion. I told you last week that Job said, you will decree a thing and it shall be established. I like Isaiah 45:11. He says that, command ye me concerning all the things that concerns you. Command me. The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 8, it said, God shall perfect everything that concerns me. Tonight, two prayer topics I want to raise for you. The first one is this. I want you to make a declaration. Remember that God created this earth with a declaration. Make a declaration. Make a declaration tonight that every program that the enemy has made to cause you to fail, to rob you of your sources in the year 2015, may that program fail in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? That if the enemy has made any program to cause you to fail this year, may that program fail right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever negative intention that the enemy has programmed because of you, may it never come to pass in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you say with me, say, Father, I decree in the name of Jesus that every plan, every program, every orchestration of the enemy to cause me to fail in this year, I pray in the name of Jesus that that plan, that program, that plan will fail in the name of Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, by the power invested in me, I make a declaration that my life shall be swift. I will walk in blessings. I will walk in his favor. Failure will not be part of my life. I will succeed in the name of Jesus. And tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus that no plan, no intention of the evil one concerning my life will materialize. I condemn every orchestration, every machinations, every design of the evil one to rob me, to rob my husband, to rob my children of our peace, of our joy, of our blessings. Tonight, I decree, I declare in the name of Jesus that that plan will fail. That plan will not work. It will not work in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and make declaration. Begin to pray that it will not work for you. Clap your hands and make declaration. Stand on your feet and let us pray. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet and let us pray. It will not work. It will not work. Somebody lift up your voice and pray. Utter mysteries into the heavens. Let the heavens hear you. 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 The plans to frustrate your children. The plans to frustrate your family. The plans to frustrate your own life. In the name of Jesus, it will not work. In the name of Jesus, it will not work. In the mighty name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. God Almighty will work a work in your life. He will bring deliverance to you. He will glorify his name. He will get unto you. He will lift you unto the better hands. In the name of Jesus. Somebody lift up the voice and pray. I pray for somebody that every work of the evil one in your family, may God chase out in the name of Jesus. May he chase out in the name of Jesus. May the Lord chase it out in the name of Jesus. Can you put on the screen for me, Job? There are two more prayer topics I will release for you and we close the service. Job 27 verse 23. Let me show you this passage and then we close the service. We will make a lot of time to pray more on 30th. Is it 30th? Yeah, we make time to pray. Okay, can we read together? Ready, go. Say it again. Read again. Where there is men, say I. May every evil planner in your life, as you clap your hands at him, may he hiss out of his place in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands and pray. May he hiss out as he hear the sound of your clap. May God chase him out. May God chase the wicked one out of his place in the name of Jesus. May God hiss him out. May God chase him out in the name of Jesus. May God chase that enemy out in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands. Whosoever that you wanted to see your sources, whatever stands on your way, may God hiss him out. If he's a man, may God hiss him out. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. Every hold, everywhere, wherever they stand in your life, in your family, in your business, among your children, as we clap our hands, may God hiss him out. Somebody clap your hands in prayer. 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 Somebody clap those hands together. Put them together. May God hiss him out. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, the other side of this passage is that I like to say it in Ghana. It says that I will clap my hands at him. You know, okay, how many of you are Ghana people? Ghana people. Don't say anybody I told you this, okay? You see, one way that the Ghana person registers his displeasure is to try his days. It's to clap. And the Ghana people, we call it achaglasin chinsin. And this is scripture. I will show you two more passages that has connection with clapping on Friday. Next Friday. He says that wherever the enemy has established his throne, as you clap your hands, may they be removed. May they be removed. May they be removed. If they planted sickness, may the sickness be removed. They planted illness, may the illness be removed. May it be removed. Somebody clap your hands. Clap your hands. Kalawato Brazil. Somebody clap those hands. I am aware I'm standing in a crowded church. Yes, this is a house of prayer. Lift your voice and pray. May fire go after them. May fire go after them. May fire go after them. Every stronghold in your house, every stronghold in your family, every occurrence the enemy has planted, as you clap your hands, may God chase them out. May God overthrow and overturn your tables in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Please say with me. I decree that the devourer will not consume my blessings. Say, I decree tonight, in the name of Jesus, that this devourer will not consume my blessing. It shall be well with my children. It shall be well with my family. It shall be well with my husband. In the name of Jesus, in the remaining of the days in this year, I will live in testimonies. I will live in grace prosperity. In the name of Jesus. The devourer will not devour me. In the name of Jesus. Because the Lord is on my side. Tonight, as I clap my hands in prayer, in the name of Jesus, I command the devourer to lose his hold. In the name of Jesus, I command the devourer, I command the enemy, I command the devil to lose his hold over my life, to lose his grip over my life, to lose his grip over me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you lift your two hands to God? I will lay my hands on somebody very soon. But say this with me. Say, Father, tonight I decree that the oil of gladness that the Lord has assigned to me, has assigned to my life, has assigned to my head, shall not run dry. In the name of Jesus, from January to December, the oil will remain on me. My heart shall be gladdened. I shall walk in the power of God. The oil of prosperity will be over my head. The oil of deliverance shall be over my head. I shall be above only and never beneath. I shall walk as a champion and not a defeater. God will lift me up to where I belong to. In the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, anoint me with oil. Say, Father, touch me with fire. Holy Ghost, touch me with your fire. Somebody lift your hands to heaven. May God make you supernaturally untouchable after this meeting. May the fire of the Holy Ghost, as you appear in your home after tonight, may fire appear. Somebody lift your hands to heaven. Say, Jesus, touch me. You came to this meeting with sicknesses. Get ready, it will leave you. You came to this meeting with pain in any part of your body. Sickness, pain is about to leave you. May the oil of gladness remain on you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I told you last week that this meeting is a meeting of empowerment. May the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen you. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody close your eyes in this meeting. Say, Father, touch me. Jesus. I have seen God work miracles in meetings like this to prove to the enemy that God is still God. Wherever you sit under the sound of my voice, may he stretch forth his hands and touch you. Sick in your bones, sick in your veins, sick in your blood. May he send for his word. Receive the touch of the Spirit now. Receive the touch of the Spirit. 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 Receive that touch. Your life will never be the same again. Receive that touch of the Spirit. Somebody, let him touch you. Please help me. Jesus. Can you please close your eyes in this meeting? It's very important. Macabre day. I have seen God work creative miracles in meetings like this. And I see God move towards you. 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 Father, I thank you. Father, I give you praise. Whosoever said it will not be, I pray for you that God Almighty will open that door unto you. That door shut at your face. I decree and declare to you that it will open. May God anoint your head. Take it now. Get it. Get it. Get it. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this man. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please take your seat. We are still praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for you that your going and coming will cause God's favor to pursue you. May God lift you up from every organized negativity, deliberate negativities designed for your life. May God turn them into positivities. May the lights of the Lord shine in these meetings. And may God take up his full place in our lives. In the name of Jesus, I call it done. Amen. Amen. You can do the better. Next week, I'm going to look at the issue of the invisible warfare. If he has redeemed us, if he's paid a price, what is the devil doing now? We are engaged in an invisible warfare. And we'll look at the invisible warfare. We'll pray. And those of you who are under the manipulation of the evil ones, and please, if I say that, understand me. Many of us, I was here the other time, 2-3 years ago, and I came to talk to you about how to identify demonic activity in a person. And I tell you, right in the church, Mark Gospel chapter 1, somebody came to church, and the Bible said, whilst Jesus was teaching, the person spoke out. And Jesus called that person who was in church. He said, he spoke to a demon in that person and said, come out of here. My prayer is that next week, God will touch you, even as he has touched you today. Amen.